know, good to see you guys as usual. Toast it up.
Toast. Hello.
Definitely. And just say, you know, happy anniversary, 45th anniversary to my parents yesterday.
Yes. You
know, my favorite people.
Yes, not a lot of people making that. So I got to do a little sippy sip on that for them, you know, some guava mango juice. You know, so happy Sunday and welcome to another edition to the show. I'm Adrian Goodson here with my crew, Dominique Dandata, Wilford, and nephew Vid Lamonte Bugs, a WNBA state of mind, you know, filled with topics and on what's hot and what's not. And so, you know, we're going to talk about the NBA, flip it over to the WNBA, and we're going to talk about some interesting stuff that's going on in Michigan. You know, with this NIL, how it's getting, I don't know if it's getting better or if it's getting worse. We're going to talk about it. But in the NBA, and this one's directed right at you, Don Dada, okay, because you was talking about this whole thing. Scoot Henderson puts in so much work with Steph Curry that Portland changes their mind about Dame Dollar. They have no more time for Dame time. What's up?
We kind of told everybody Scoot was going to be a problem three years ago. I mean, they're going to have to start listening to the circle sooner or later. We don't just make sense. We make a lot of sense. Scoot Henderson is a hybrid guard. He's got sprinkles of Baron Davis. You remember B. Diddy?
No, please. The group?
Our guy. That is Scoot. He is Baron Davis part two. You know how explosive and dynamic he was. Now you add in, you know, sitting in with Mr. Steph Curry for weeks on end at the beginning of the summer, like getting that tutelage. Now you got who gonna stop you? Once he knows what the NBA game is, he gets into that environment. Yeah, he's had that experience with the G League, but it's a different atmosphere. It's a different environment when you're with your team throughout the season. So, you know, once those little kinks are written out, I'm not going to say Portland is going to forget about Dame, but it's going to be less of a story.
I think they already was planning on forgetting about Dame, honestly, you know, with that draft pick in general and just going younger. So I think this is more of a saving face, you know, but yeah, like I told Betty earlier, Dame's out of there, you know, to make it amicable. And, you know, both parties can part looking good.
Yeah, I certainly do hope that a team picks him up and a team that's going to utilize his services. Dame can shoot the rock. You know, certainly if he goes to another team, he's going to have to, you know, pass the rock a little more than he does. And I don't think he has a problem with that, with sharing. He doesn't never seem to be that way. I just give him all of my blessings, you know. And so, you know, Portland is moving on to the, you know, into the new millennium, you know, where you see teams are getting younger and younger. So you need to start doing your homework and start watching these younger players that are out here to keep up, especially if you're an old head out here. You know, Jaylen Brown, you know, my boy, Boston Celtics, next contract will be the richest in NBA history, up to 304 million big ones, almost 70 million in his final year in the contract. And this is from a kid who had no agent, only used the National Basketball, the Players Association, okay, to help him with the, you know, with the particulars. You know, he gets all of the money. You don't really need an agent. But like I was telling Vid earlier, definitely, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I was telling you, I think that sooner or later, that's going to be the path for a lot of the players, you know, once they understand how much power they have. The flip side of that is also if you get a good lawyer to read over your contract, you're going to be good. But as far as that big number with Jaylen Brown, holy moly, $304 million next contract. Woo! What you got to say on that, Dom? I know you got something to say. Bring it.
TV media rights. That's where we are. Think about it. The NBA's TV media rights are up for grabs in another year and a half. That will be the largest acquisition, you know, as far as media rights within sports. It's going to be well over $2 billion. The NBA, if you guys are following trends here, they're going for the NFL. NFL is all year round, pretty much, right? The NBA will do the exact same. Basketball all year round. They're gunning for that. Why do you think, you know, they're doing a lot of things overseas right now? A lot of things. Jalen, he's going to just be the start. Think about it. Shout out to my guy over at Michigan, Juwan Howard, first $100 million man. The salaries were going to get there eventually.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think that, you know, things are definitely going to change. We're gonna witness it within the next few years. You know, flipping over to the WNBA, it was the All-Star Weekend. Now, hair did, nails did, everything did. And your girl, Gold Mamba, Jewel Lloyd, gets the MVP, drops 31 bombs, has 4 rebounds and 6 assists. The East Coast beats the West Coast, 143-127, which is uncommon. Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray are the champs of the Skills Challenge. Okay, and that's no surprise to me. You know, kids nowadays, they need to understand the importance of creating separation and ball handling at every position. And I think that if you sit down and you watch a WNBA game, you'll find that the women are a lot more fundamentally sound, and that's why it's a great game to watch. Moving on into the league, you got Breonna Stewart, and I feel like Johannes have completely motivated your girl, Sabrina. She's playing like her career depends on it, hitting 4-pointers, dropping bombs in the 3-point contest like 92.6%. Unheard of. Across the WNBA and the NBA. Not to mention, she's looking to score more in Brooklyn under the Ion lights, because Ion has picked up, you know, the WNBA. So watch her more closely. Watch her more closely. Lastly, the East beats the West, 143-127. Team Stewie prevails. You know, in my opinion, you know, I'm watching the season for the last couple of weeks, and I can honestly say the Aces better. They better check themselves, because New York is different. They're playing different. They don't have just 3 players playing well. They got 4 players playing well. They're going to get that 5th player that's going to start playing well, and it's going to be a problem. And it's going to happen, you know, after the All-Star weekend when we start approaching the finals and stuff like that. Aces better lock in. Get up out of that tunnel and lock in. Fashion show is over. That's all I'm going to say on that. And you can see it. I can feel it building up. And they gut punched them. They absolutely gut punched them in the WNBA All-Star Game. The numbers on the All-Star side was bananas. Talk to me, boys.
Goody, I'm going to say this to you. You being in the locker room, you having that experience from your basketball eyes, you know we have 2 seasons. So, you know, here we are, the hoopla, the hype, all the media coverage on the Aces at the beginning of the year, all of those stars that are in the locker room, you know, as we go into the second half of the season, you know, what is your take on what it's going to take for the Aces to lock in and really focus? What is that real message to the Aces? Because I know some of them are watching.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I want them to take a real good look at the stats, okay, for the game. Griner had 18. Sabali had 19, okay? Lloyd had 31. Copper had 16. All right. Sabrina had 18. Kalia had 20. Numbers are crazy, right? Stewie wasn't really concerned about getting the MVP. She was just, her numbers, she 9 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. If she had to play the whole game, she would have had a triple double. At this point right now, players are playing different. Vandersloot only got 10 minutes. So she really didn't. Then she got smoked in the three-point contest. So, like, people are coming with a whole different mentality in this finals. You know, what I'm saying is that people need to start locking in. You know, I don't think that a lot of teams around the league think that the Aces are serious. You know, just from looking at the social media page.
I think it was our second episode for the season. I said when the Liberty jail, you know, because they're new, you know, it's new pieces there. Once they find their chemistry, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a real challenge for the Aces, right? And, you know, I'm a big Sabrina fan. So I think Brianna and, you know, Vandersloot, all of them are pushing her to even be a better player. I don't think the past year she was comfortable in that spotlight. You know what I mean? That it was her team. Now she's, you know, it's still her team, but she has someone to look up to, right? In Brianna Stewart, right? So, but I think she's very comfortable. I think she hasn't even reached her limit. So this second half of the season is going to be bananas.
I agree.
It's going to be a problem. New York is about to be a problem. I can just feel it. You know, it's in the atmosphere, and there's a lot of people that are behind it. They don't just have New York, but they also have New Jersey. They have Connecticut. They have a huge following. They're selling out crowds. It's a different flow over there now.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I was looking at the difference in the teams and stuff like that, I think that Stewie was picking more to win. It just to me, she was picking to win.
It was balanced.
Just how she was picking the team, and it just looked more like, you know, Wilson was more like, all right, I'm gonna get my dogs on the team. And wasn't really, really looking at the X's and O's and the matchups and how it was gonna go down, because they, you know, Kelsey Plum went off. She had 30. Wilson had 30. Agumba Wale had 18. You know, Parker had 14. But it's not like how, you know, the East Coast was. The East Coast, you know, they had like 6 people in double figures and one person that was damn near triple-double. So I think they were just on a different mission.
Yeah, it was definitely more about, they were more balanced all around. You know what I mean? Passing more, not selfish at all. You know, I think that was the difference.
Absolutely. And you know what, guys? I know how big you guys are on Jewel Lloyd. I know y'all love the Gold Mamba, you know, a little piece of Kobe. I think that Jewel's going to be on the East Coast next year. And I'm going to be an advocate for her to be, you know, to be, you know, for D-Wade to come and get her and make her the face of the Chicago Sky.
Irene Kalia Cooper? Ooh. That's a tough stop.
Those two.
I like it.
Who stops? You know, who stops? Those two. On the wings.
Jeez.
With a point guard that's gonna find both of them.
That's a point guard's heaven right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And a point guard that's gonna get the ball to all of the people that they need to, because they're gonna need somebody else. they're definitely going to need somebody else. But I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see Lloyd in Chicago with Colin. You know.
Fantastic move.
So I think that's what D-Wade should make happen in Chicago, because the girl is on fire right now, dropping 30 like it ain't nothing.
You know who she reminds me of? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. She reminds me of Cappy Porn that's a 2.0.
Cappy?
Yep.
There's some similarities there. She got that wiggle. She's got the wiggle.
She got that dog.
She got the
wiggle
to her again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cappy Poindexter was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta say it. You know, WNBA, I suggest that you watch it. You know, it's just gonna get better. And a lot of teams that were down in the dumps in the beginning are now starting to rise, you know. And it's always been said the cream rises to the top, and you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. I'm sitting here with my nephew, Vid Lamonte Bugs Jr., and Dominique, Don Dada Wilford, you know, chilling on a Sunday, chopping it up, talking about the WNBA, talking about the NBA, getting ready to slide over to some things that I've been hearing about the state of Michigan and its issues that it's having with NIL. There's a battle going on in Michigan with the state versus the high school. Dom, elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, you know, Goody, it's not really a battle. The state's athletic association does what they kind of always do. They just come in with rules. They don't really get feedback from parents, the kids themselves who are playing the sport. You know, they are really their own governing body. They come in, they go into the governor's office, they make the rules that they want to make. So here's an interesting rule that will probably go national. You'll probably be hearing about this everywhere in the next couple of months across America, as, you know, the NIL kind of hits the high school ranks because of the decision that was made in California a couple months ago. Now, in the state of Michigan, the Michigan High School Athletic Association, when a kid gets ready to sign an NIL contract, his school's not involved in those contract negotiations, nor the school board, the Michigan High School Athletic Association. They have to sign off on all contracts and negotiations. They have to be present. So, you know, my question to a lot of people out there is, this is your child. You've put in time with your child to play this sport. And now that child is able to benefit off the sport. A car company or a car dealership comes to a local, say, volleyball star and says, hey, you know, we would love for you to, rep our dealership. And the parent is like, hey, I think that's a good idea. We bought cars from this dealership before. We would love to make that deal with you guys. Yeah, have your kid appear in a commercial. We'll give you $5,000 for that commercial. I'm just throwing out imaginary figures here. And then the state's athletic association steps in and they says, well, we kind of need our take as well. We kind of need, you know, we need to see this contract. You know, we need to make sure that it's fair for that child. Now, me as a parent, because I have two children, I am going to say, you don't have any dealings in what I do with my son or daughter. Why should I even be in your association? Why should I keep my child in this state? And what's going to happen is, I'm going to tell you guys now, a lot of top athletes that are in the state of Michigan, they're going to leave. It's going to happen all over the state. You're going to have high school free agency, just like you do with college now in the transfer portal and kids moving around for NIL deals. You're going to have the same thing in high school. They were trying to avoid a lot of this with the putting the NIL in place, and I feel like we're going in circles. Back to the same old, same old.
Yeah, and, you know, that's just great knowledge right there. And for anybody who doesn't really understand what an NIL is, it's just basically a contract that would allow athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. You know, and this has been going on for a long time. You know what? This is a great problem for me, because I wish I was having problems like this. You know, back in the day, I would have been getting paid. I could tell you straight up, I would have capitalized off of this like no other. Just from, you know, the accolades that I had won and just the things that I had done, you know, alongside a lot of my other, you know, counterparts. You know, that played, you know, when I was playing, you know, this would have been a great thing. But I could tell you this, you know, I think it's great that, you know, athletes are able to monetize their likeness. And, you know, what they're basically saying too is that they don't want students to enter into NIL deals with the following categories, and I'll read them off: adult entertainment, alcohol, tobacco, prescription drugs, casino, gambling, sports betting, and weapons. Okay. And so, you know, just trying to control the narrative and you know what people can do. And, you know, I hope as a parent, you're not, you know, allowing your kids to be in these types of commercials anyway. I mean, I don't know what kind of parent's going to allow their kid to be in a, you know, prescription drug commercial, you know, like maybe you know, promoting stuff for acne wouldn't be a problem. But I mean, it's just getting to be absolutely too much right now, you know? And then now the state is getting involved, you know, and they're meddling in stuff that they shouldn't even be involved in, you know, but they're trying to govern, you know, how people and what people do, you know, from social media to personal appearances to autograph sessions to product endorsements to, you know, camps or clinics. They just trying to control the narrative now.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants their cut, right?
It's absolutely incredible. I just, you know, so many things to think about as an athlete now. You know, it'd be very wise to seek counseling if you're a top tier athlete, because there's so many things out here to just get you caught up, to make you lose focus and make you lose sight on, you know, your goals, dreams, and aspirations. You were thinking about doing something, and then all of a sudden it's not even fun anymore. It became a job. And to me, basketball was never a job. God gave me the opportunity, gave me the given talent to go out there and dribble a ball every single day. That's not a job.
So. Right. You got 14-year-olds that are going to need business managers now. Think about that. Just like they do in Hollywood, that child actor or actress, that incoming freshman that's coming into that high school, they're babies. They're going to have to deal with that. So if the parents don't have a strong support system and the proper guidance, Goody, as you stated, you're going to have a lot of kids out here ruined.
Yeah, and this may very well be the reason why the state stepped in. Maybe there's a lot of kids that are being exploited. Maybe there's a lot of kids that are going in the wrong direction. You know, I would hate to, you know, turn on a TV or look on the internet and see some, you know, high profile football, basketball, hockey, tennis, field hockey player, you know, on, you know, adult entertainment, you know, and then blowing it up on TV saying that this kid was doing something like that. Or, you know, over here promoting firearms or something like that. You know, I hate to see stuff like that. But if there's parents out there, and parents are getting younger and younger, so maybe the reasons why a lot of these things are happening is because they really don't know how to govern their kids, because they're still one.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm always one for foresight. And maybe about 7 years ago, I created a company called Lead Launch Consulting. that's going to be able to help these parents and these kids navigate through that process. The website and things like that and all that proper information will be up soon. But I saw this coming 7 years ago.
And I think it's a, you know, I look at the positive in that, right? Like you have your company, but we talk so much about financial literacy being taught in schools and whatnot. This is, you know, it, the pro I see out of it is it puts it on a national stage, even more of a light on a national stage that we need to teach these kids and these parents financial literacy at a younger age, right? You know, we usually, I mean, heck, I didn't learn financial literacy till well after I got out of college, right? So now with these NIL deals and these other things, like you alluded, Dom, to, you know, child actors, when they get in a business, they have a business manager and a financial manager, whether they're good or not, that's, you know, up for debate, but they, and accountants, so they have to have this some kind of education on who to go to take care of their money and their best interests, and you know, avoiding going to jail for, you know, not paying taxes and all these other things, which, like I said, I think, you know, we can take a lot of positive out of this whole thing, you know, the NIL and, you know, high school athletes getting in and so on. But, you know, that's just my take on that.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah, it goes deep. And you know, Goody, as you and I both know, the league is always, as well, 10 steps ahead. Our guy, Earl Monroe, Earl the Pearl, he created an academy about 5 years ago called the Earl Monroe Academy. And, you know, you had a lot of top NBA executives that are on the board of that. The academy primarily uses basketball to teach the kids, you know, whether it's math, whether it's science, all of the lessons are around basketball to keep the kids interested. And I believe they're going to be on the forefront of, be it, as you said, financial literacy.
Yeah, and we, with all our backgrounds, not just the three of us, and, you know, that, you know, Earl Monroe and, you know, these other people that's doing great things, like that, we have to be more involved, you know, we can't just leave it to the Adrian Goodsons and VidBugs, and, you know, I'm talking to people out there, because this, the kids need us, you know what I mean? We all have talents that can help them, right? When I go into schools, you know, I talk about writing, and at first, you know, the kids ain't, they really ain't trying to hear it, right? But then they open up, because a lot of them want to be athletes and rappers and business owners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing about it is, I get them to think about English, mathematics, science through, you know, coming in telling them about my background. Because you can be a rapper, athlete, author, whatever, but if you don't know how to count up your money, you're going to always be broke, or people going to take advantage of you. You know what I mean? So it's up for us. I'm saying the community, you know, only thing we have to do is just touch one person, one child, right? And it goes a long way, because then they're going to inspire other people or their peers or whatnot. So I commend Earl Monroe. I commend you. I commend Goody. You know, I commend everybody that's doing what they're doing. But it takes more than that.
Each one teach one.
Yes, sir. Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. We're just touching on topics about the NIL and, you know, how it's just creating a little bit of confusion out there, because, you know, there's so many things that you could either do right or do wrong. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, you know. And you know, in the beginning stages of anything, there's always a lot of bumps and bruises. So this first 5 years of these NIL deals are probably going to be shady and rocky. I won't say shady, but, you know, probably not the best that they could possibly be as far as deals are concerned. And once people get the kinks out and once we decide who is governing what and where we need to go and how what we should turn to and where we can get our information from, if our kids just so happens to become so great that they get an NIL, you know, because the parents need leadership too. And I think that a lot of times people forget about that. And I have to commend the Players Association for having parent meetings during those, you know, the top 100. And they're like actually teaching the parents the proper way to do things and how to seek help and what they should do, you know, if their child should make it so big. And, you know, talk to them about social media and the do's and the don'ts and, you know, just all kinds of things and helping guide them. Like, there's no blueprint to being a parent. You know, it's just kind of like you're just out there riding the wave sometimes. Regardless as to what, you know, information people may be giving to you, you still have to do according to your child, not according to somebody else's child and what their wants and needs are. So, you know, I certainly hope that, you know, they make this better and they get this together so that, you know, it becomes something that, you know, people are comfortable doing. Don't feel like they're being taken advantage of. And also it gives everybody an even opportunity and not just the higher tier kids, you know, or where everybody is getting a balanced diet and the opportunity to make some money. And that financial literacy class that you're talking about, they really, really need to step it up. And as a matter of fact, they need to shut it down and start teaching it down in high school. They need to start teaching it down in you know, elementary school and getting these kids, you know, we're behind so many countries, and we can get into that as far as education is concerned, English, math, and even speaking, you know, speaking our own language, we're bad. We're not top in our own language, you guys. It's crazy out here right now, but you know, God sits high and looks low, so it's all gonna work out. And you know, I appreciate you guys for coming on the show, sitting here talking about the different topics. You know, once again, you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind. Stay tuned for the next show. Stay tuned for the next camp. It's getting ready to be fire next Saturday. All right, Sammy Sosa. Peace out.